Alrighty, let's get to the study. We've been going through the different, I started with listing 11 different incidences in Paul's writings or in Acts where Paul instructed those people in whatever local church, whatever local body of Christ expression he was in there, at that location, or whatever location he was, he instructed them to give funds for the poor saints that were starving in Jerusalem. They had sold all and laid it at the apostles' feet, and the money ran out. So we've gotten through the first four, and we're going to start at the fifth one now today, and we're basically exposing the scriptures, making us aware of what the scripture says, and bringing to light where we can any place where the traditions today have kind of gone their own way apart from the scripture. I don't know whether it's just through time, through carelessness, or through Rome, or whatever it is. But we want to be Bible believers and Bible followers, followers of God and what He says in the Bible. So we're studying it. This fifth one is aid from Corinth, which is in Achaia, aid from Corinth to Jerusalem. And we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 16 at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, and go through the first four, and then we'll pick up later on in the chapter. But 1 Corinthians 16, 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So that's the closest that we've heard so far to sounding like a command. It's not a command, though. You know, how did he give order? He gave order that as you can, they chose to in some places, the people, the believers. But as you can, give for the saints there. And they did appoint trustworthy people from the group to administer it, to collect it, to make it secure. You know, a large amount of money had to be kept secure. You couldn't just send a kid there with no protection and it would be gone. You had to send trustworthy people. And these people got the name of elders and overseers. Another word for overseer is bishop. So, going on, he says, I have given order, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, in other words, save up, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know, gathering, you know, that sounds like a harvest, doesn't it? Well, that's kind of the way their economies went. At harvest time, they had a lot of money available, and the rest of the year it was kind of low. And he's saying, lay by him in store. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Save up so that there's no gatherings when I come. I mean, you don't have to have a big influx or a big hurt in your budget. You've already saved it up through the year. So, and when I come, this is verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 16, when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So there's no question what he's talking about. He's talking about the saints in Jerusalem, collection for the saints in Jerusalem. But when he says, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, I believe that's an early reference to the elders before they were called that, they were called that already, but he's not calling them that here. That was their duty. In fact, that's the only definition given in Scripture is it's in Acts. When you realize that Acts 20, verse 17, is just the elders from the Ephesus church coming down to Miletus. And then Paul addresses them and says, the Lord hath made you elders, made you overseers, which is the same word as bishop. So, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 16:4, and if, well, he's talking about whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And then he says, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. He's not going with them, they'll go with him. In other words, he's the apostle, you know, he's the one in charge of this. But if they go without him, they've got his authority then to do it, to take it to Jerusalem. So let's jump down to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That quit you like men sounds, it's probably got an old English idiomatic, you know, definition, but I think of it as quit you like men, let your final assessment of you be that you acted manly. You know, when people think back about you, and whether you're still with them or not, they think of you as having acted manly. Quit you like men. So, verse 14, let all things be done with charity. With charity. All things. In the business of the church, you can think of, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, I think it is, when they had a man with in adultery with his father's wife, taking care of that situation, let it be done with charity. It has to be done firmly, you know, tough love kind of a thing, but done with charity. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Well, that's what he's been talking about. The collection for the saints in Jerusalem. Bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So they've addicted themselves. They've gone around, and, you know, I don't know if they worked overtime to make extra money to send with that delivery of money for the saints to have their next meal, or, you know, what he means by that. But they were mentioned in the scripture because of it. It was a good thing that they did, and he's praising them and setting them up as an example. Where are the saints, though, to whom Paul and the body of Christ churches are ministering? It was back in verse 3, the church of God in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 16:16, that you submit yourselves unto such as Stephanas and his household that addicted themselves to the ministering of the saints. Let me find my place here. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So submit yourselves to those that are willing to take the lead. You know, if you want to take the lead, go ahead. But if somebody else is, submit to them and work with them, help them. And with everyone that helps Paul and works. So, not only do the verses that we just read through there, 15 through 18 actually, they encourage feeding the flock in Jerusalem, but they teach those believers to participate in giving to relieve the saints. I don't know what you would call it, a spiritual exercise, or it's something you can do, not for salvation, of course, but saved people can show that they are created unto good works, Ephesians 2:10, and they can do good for other people, help, they can be a help, so that they're not so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, as the saying goes, which I probably shouldn't have said it, because in a sense I kind of I like the thought. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 16:17, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. So there's more giving praised by Paul. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge them that are such. You know, hold them up. There's, you know, this is talking about leadership in the assemblies, in the body of Christ meetings. People that refresh your spirit, that supply what is lacking. He says, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such. Acknowledge ye them that are such. So that's more than being just plain church leadership. That's leading in a ministry, a serving, a way to serve. Minister is to serve, and the ministry of financially relieving the Church of God in Jerusalem. We don't have that anymore, but there are other financial needs that are legitimate. I'm not talking about, you know, the new car for the pastor or something like that, which we all probably don't like to hear about. That was the fifth from... let's look now at the sixth. There's another accounting or another mention of it from Corinth to Jerusalem, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul writes back again, and he said, this is, would be in Acts 20, and he says, moreover, brethren, this is starting in the first verse, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, that always gets me, we do you to wit, okay, I think he means we want to make you to know this. We want to make you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That'd be, as far as I know, the ones that are mentioned would be Philippi and Thessalonica, and I think Neapolis too was in that area. It's mentioned somewhere, and I don't know. There's no letter to them though. But it's kind of up there in the bend of the water where they have to go through those villages to get down to Achaia and to Athens and Corinth and those places. So he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That says a lot, you know. I mean, it sounds a little bit wordy, but when you think about what he's saying, those people of Macedonia gave and gave and gave. I guess they realized that they had a one-time opportunity to help that Church of God that had stopped evangelizing. You know, by the keys of the kingdom that Peter had used to stop their, you know, they were going to minister to the true circumcision from then on, Galatians 2:9. But the ministering of the saints. Let's go to verse 3. That was verse 2. 2 Corinthians verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So fellowship is two-way. And here fellowship is being partners in giving in that situation there. Giving to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Going on to 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Great verses, aren't these? You know, even if we were just reading without trying to take note of what was going on, they're great verses. 2 Corinthians 8:16, and we'll go on down through at least verse 22. Starting with verse 16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. 2 Corinthians 8:18, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. All good praises for taking part in that giving exercise. In Acts 15, who it was that was sent with them. Wasn't it Justice and Silas? No? Yeah? I think it was Silas and Justice were sent. So he's either talking about Silas or Justice there. The one who was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. Going on to verse 20. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. So that's what we were talking about before, the security of the funds, that they don't get a new guy at the... They've got to have a reputation for being godly, for raising their families well, and all these things, these what are thought of as stipulations for who to choose to be an elder. They were actually... who to choose to carry the money from those individual churches to the Church of God at Jerusalem, going across the boundary there. The the churches in the body of Christ were not the same group of churches as the churches of Judea and the Church of God in Jerusalem. They were under Israel's doctrine and Israel's gospel of a kingdom. Well, it hadn't come. It was the gospel of the circumcision at that point. But Paul and his churches were under the let's see, this is Acts just before they were, Paul was sent to all people, so it was still the gospel of Christ. That Christ died for your sins. Nothing about a kingdom coming to earth that they're going to reign in. But Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. Believe that he died for your sins. That he died the death that was required as a judgment for your sins. So, I'm trying to see where we left off. We were at... whose praise is in the gospel through all the churches. Verse 19, I think we'll pick up at. And not only that, but... we did that. Verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing things honest. That's not the way it reads. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And verse 21, that was 21, 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. There it is again. They send proven people that they know are going to be trustworthy with this money, this large amount of money, to Jerusalem. But now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So, Well, 2 Corinthians 9:1, let's continue on. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Down to verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Let me just get a sip. Hold on. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, he's not making it a commandment. They're not under a law here. He's giving the benefits of it. He's telling the benefits of it. And promoting it, yes. Because God had charged him with telling the churches about going to Jerusalem and sending people with these funds that they save up to give so that the Church of God in Jerusalem won't starve to death after the great sacrifice they had made bountifully. So verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is, you know, I have to wonder how the present day churches justify paying the light bill and the mortgage and those things. I don't think there's scripture for that. These are all related to that one temporary situation in Jerusalem. And I'm not criticizing. I think, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it offhand, at least according to my current understanding, with paying some of the menial costs of opening the doors so people can come and hear the gospel. But this isn't talking about that, though. So don't use them for that. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you have always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God gives to you graciously, you give graciously. 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And there's a couple Old Testament verses to be brought up here too. They refer to Israel's poor being helped by the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 9. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And then Psalm 12, verse 5. In that, just before that series of verses that talks about the Lord preserving his word forever, this is what sometimes is pointed to as the Lord preserving forever, you know, that there will always be poor and needy people in Israel. That's not what it's saying. The Lord doesn't try to keep poor and needy people in Israel. But the verse reads, this is Psalm 12:5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And so, there's nothing in those two verses that even hints of what mystery, the mystery that Christ revealed to Paul. But, you know, Paul used, I think it was the first one, the Psalm 112:9. He quoted that in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. Used the scriptures from the Old Testament. It doesn't destroy the mystery or mean that the mystery was not a mystery. It was told in the Old Testament. It wasn't. Paul is just applying something, an Old Testament principle. We got up to verse 9. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. For the admission of this service, the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So now this is, like we said, this is a one-time crossover, crossing that line with the body of Christ church is supplying a need of the Israel church, specifically in Jerusalem. That's not something that you can claim as a name it and claim it kind of a blessing for today. That was for that specific gift to Israel. They were not yet in the dispensation of the grace of God. They were in a dispensation of the gospel, giving out the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Tells who it was sent to in Romans 1:16, that gospel of Christ during that work. The work that they will in no wise believe, Paul says in Acts 13:41. And most of them didn't. There was a diminishing, smaller and smaller amount that did believe of Israel until you get to Acts 28. And Paul, they don't have any special standing at all. Israel has to come to God like we do, as a sinner, not as a special case because I'm an Israelite. They have to come as a sinner. And believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah, that died for my sins and rose for my justification, they can be saved like anybody else, but try to get them to admit that they're a sinner. You know, it's hard enough to get a Gentile to admit it, although they know it. They often they'll say, you know, I'm too sinful, God couldn't save somebody like me. Well, that's the requirement. It's a saying, how does that go? 1 Timothy 1:15, trustworthy state, how's that go? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Everybody accept this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not the law keepers, sinners. And Paul says, I'm the first, I am chief. And he goes on to define that in the next verse as, I am first, in me first. So, there is a... I didn't quite finish that, did I? For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. In other words, you didn't just abuse the gospel of Christ, the grace God showed sending back word that there is a way to be saved now, even though Israel has fallen and is not a way to God. Get saved like Paul did. Chief of sinners, he was the first one in. Be the next. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Just a brief statement here, the seventh one of these indications in the Bible of the body of Christ church is giving to the need of those the flock, the feeding the flock, the church in Jerusalem. Romans 12:13, and I'm just going to read it. There's no background to it or anything I could find. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Talking about gifts that were given at that time, after tongues had ceased, after healings and those signs of the kingdom had ceased, there were still some gifts in the church, and it was before it had been pared down to the Ephesians 4 list of gifts. So, going on, the eighth one in that list of places that gave to Jerusalem would be Greece. Aid from Greece to Jerusalem, and that's Acts 20, verses 2 and 3, you can see that, but let's look in Romans first. We're going to look at Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. Paul said, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia," and we read about them and their giving, "it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So again, there's no question. It's not talking about feeding the flock. It's not preaching the word of God to them or something that some people come up with. Paul is telling what has happened in the past, not necessarily on that trip, but he's referring to his visits in Acts 16, Acts 17, and 18. In Thessalonica, which is in Macedonia, we read, to close yesterday, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly," red dot, "comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak." There it is, just three words. They knew what he had meant by then, though. He'd told them before. So, "Be patient toward all men." And in Corinth, of Achaia, I think that's how you say it, Achaia, which is Greece now, 1 Corinthians 16:1, we had read, but it applies here. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, let them them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." And 2 Corinthians 8:4, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So those kind of fit under Romans 15:26. Let's go to verse 27, Romans 15:27. "And it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their," Israel's, "spiritual things," and we have the word of God through them. I mean, they were, the oracles of God were given to Israel, including Paul, Paul being an Israelite. "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Feed those hungry stomachs. So now the ninth. Let's go to the ninth in that list. This would be aid from Ephesus. As you recall, down in Acts 20, down in Miletus, he called the elders or the administrators of this down from Miletus in Asia of Turkey, and to talk to them about Jerusalem, the aid, giving the aid to Jerusalem. Starting in Acts 20, verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And remember, this is Acts 20. Back in Acts 14, they had started in Acts 11, 29 and 30, this giving of the body of Christ churches to the needs in Jerusalem. But in Acts 14, they had foreseen this, and they had appointed elders in every church. And so there were elders in the Ephesus church, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So here we see why they had been ordained elders. This is the only place in Scripture that tells what the purpose is of elders in the dispensation of the gospel of Christ. That dispensation that was in the body of Christ but preceded the dispensation of the grace of God. So, and it's 2 Corinthians 9:13 is related to that. Let me just look that up. I don't know if that's in the list there. It says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. That's why I put that in there, I think. For your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So it's during the gospel of Christ, which was what Paul defined a dispensation of the gospel as being the gospel of Christ. So when it stopped being to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as the gospel of Christ is, Romans 1:16, then it became the dispensation of the grace of God. So there's no conflict there. So there are other places in the Bible that tells some of the other purpose of the elders, such as to lead the body of Christ churches. But I don't. A lot of that comes from the prologue or the postscripts that were written in later into at the end of the books of the Bible and things like that. So here in Acts 20:28, Paul is talking to those named as elders from the body of Christ churches in Ephesus, and he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Well, he's not talking about in Ephesus. The elders from Ephesus were not over the flock. They were not to take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock in Ephesus. The flock is in Jerusalem. That's Israel. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. You see, they're overseers to take the funds. That's what he's talking about through all these passages. Hath made you overseers. That's past tense. In Acts 20, it was past tense when they were made overseers. Back in Acts 14:26, one of those. Let me just take a second here and identify that. That's 14:23. Yeah, put that in there. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, why do you suppose they fasted? You know, they're talking about giving up, sacrificing in order to send money for food in Jerusalem, and they're giving up food. They're fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So, let me just look at some of this. To feed the... I left off in the middle of the verse. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Church of God is Israel. The Gentile churches, or the churches that Paul set up, aren't called the church of God. And I've gone through why... It seems that way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, but that's a whole different situation where Paul went in. You can witness it happening there in Acts 18, 1 through about 7. He goes in and preaches the gospel of Christ, gospel of God, excuse me, the facts about who Jesus is. Some of them believed that. They didn't believe for salvation. They believed who Jesus was. They hadn't heard that Messiah had come. They're over there in Greece. And Paul preaches to them. They believe. And if you read John 9:22, they're no longer welcome in the synagogue. So Paul goes next door, actually in another part of the same building, says they, where they started meeting was joined hard to the synagogue. And that's probably why there was such a prolific, so many gifts given, because gifts, those signs are for Israel. Israel requires a sign. And they were right next to Israel's synagogue there. Again, no air conditioning in those days, so during the summer the windows were open. They could hear everything going on in Paul's meeting right next door. But who came out of that meeting? Ones that believed the gospel of God. Well, some of those people, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:18, some were called to be body of Christ believers, believing the gospel that Paul preached. Christ died for your sins, believe on him to life everlasting. And some of those people that came out of the synagogue believing the gospel of God were called to be circumcision believers. And Paul says, don't try to be uncircumcision if you're circumcision. And don't try to be circumcision if you were called in uncircumcision. So for a while he had both groups there. And before he preached the gospel of Christ to them, they were all Church of God people. They were all just like Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Nicodemus. And I'm purposely avoiding naming the 12 apostles because they were guaranteed they were going to be sitting on 12 thrones in the tribulation. But the others were under a little different circumstances. They had to endure to the end to be saved. But they were in that church. So, and that's the description. That's just how those people were that came out of the church in Corinth. Out of the synagogue in Corinth, into Paul's meeting, I should say. So that's why 1 Corinthians 1:2 calls it the Church of God. And even after Paul preached the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation to them, those that were called to be body of Christ people believed it. Those that were called to be circumcision people believed that was factual, that it was true, just like we believe that the gospel of the kingdom was true. It just isn't given to us as our means of salvation. And the gospel of Christ wasn't given to those people that came out of the synagogue in Corinth. It wasn't given to them, those that were called to be circumcision. It wasn't given to them for a gospel of salvation, but just as facts, that Christ died not only for those that Isaiah 53 says he died for many, those in Israel. He died for all people. And by the time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians in Acts 19, he had had his temple vision in Acts 18:22, and he knew that he was being sent to all people at some point in the future. And, of course, you know, we have lessons that show that it happened just after he wrote the book of Romans in Acts 20, verse 3. In Acts 20, verse 7, he sailed away from Macedonia, and Philippians 4:15 tells that was when the new gospel began. So, we're trying to get through this ninth one here, Ephesus. We see that. Hold on, let me get a little further down here. We're just about to close, and I just want to get these last few thoughts in. The elders, if you look in Titus, you don't have to go there now. We'll go tomorrow. But Titus 1 verse 5 and Titus 1 verse 7 equates elders with bishops. And here we also see a confirmation. We see that the elders in Acts 20 verse 17 are the overseers in Acts 20 verse 28. And we also see that the word overseer is the same word as is translated bishop in Titus 1 verse 7. So they're all the same word. And they're the same function. They were there. They were called into service as trustworthy people from assemblies, to called into service to take the money that was collected, protect it, carry it, okay, that's better, carry it over to Jerusalem and get it to the leadership there. And they were called elders. They were called overseers and bishops. Let's look finally at Acts 20, verses 30 through 35, and then we'll close. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You can see how that's relevant in this line of thinking, you know, being trustworthy to carry money. He says, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my own necessities and to them that were with me. You know, Paul was a tent maker. That's how he made his income. Also, verse 34 shows the meaning of ministered to be to serve. Yes, or yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So he was serving in that way. Finally, Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. There it is again. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And like we said yesterday, that's the only place in the Bible that that is said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's the only place I know of in Acts. Well, maybe there are other places. One of the rare places where red letters would be justified. So I'm done, and we'll pick up tomorrow with the final part here.